that's it. So I'm trying to practice, get the preacher up here by quarter after. And so, Brother Brennan, you come on up here and preach. I forgot something, but I'll cover it later, I guess. You come up and preach what God's laid on your heart. And I appreciate it again, Brother Ben.
Amen.
20 years that you've been coming out here to Good Samaritan.
I know, I don't even look that old.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see you folks out. Amen.
Thanks.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Brother Case brought his family. And you've been traveling all day, haven't you? How long did it take you to get here from?
Just about 3 hours.
3 hours.
Doing the speed limit. Sure.
Yeah. Someone's speed limit.
All right. Brother Case broke the speed limit. I just wrote him down. We got the car salesman back there. We got the speeder here. Expect the altar to be full tonight. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. I'll preach quick. Won't be long. Amen. Usually when a preacher says something like that, get ready. Put your seatbelt on. Amen. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house. Dear God, I pray that you do a work tonight. You know exactly what we need. You knew who would walk through those doors tonight. I pray, dear God, that you penetrate our hearts and Holy Spirit of God do a work. Lord, it's not about Cliff Bennett, but it's about Jesus Christ. And I pray, dear God, that we lift up the name of Jesus tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Perilous times. That's what it says here. Know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, I believe that we're living in those very dangerous days. This verse is being fulfilled right now. We're living in those perilous times.
Yes, sir.
And all you have to do is look around and understand that it's very dangerous. You know, it used to be fashionable to be a Christian, but it's not that way anymore. It used to be all right to. I remember when I was a kid, you know, on Easter, the ladies would have the hats on and the frilly dresses, and they'd go to church. But nowadays, you can't get people out to church. You know, we used to go to church and enjoy ourselves, but nowadays it's a little bit different. What we've seen in these last days is the falling away. A lot of people get discouraged about it, but I want to tell you something. We're just a step closer to the Lord Jesus Christ coming back.
Yes.
And we better lift up our eyes and look to the eastern skies and realize that Jesus is going to split those eastern skies pretty soon.
Amen.
And we're going to hear the shout, the voice of the archangel.
Amen.
And the trump of God. And we're going to go up and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. Now, that's only for those that know Jesus as their Savior. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that will not be a thing to look forward to. But I'm looking forward to it. I pray that last prayer that's found in the Bible. You know what that is? It's John's prayer. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And I pray that prayer tonight. Even so come, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
I want to show you some things. I'm going to go real quick. You listen quick. I've got some things written down here. I'm going to do like I do many times. I'm going to make a little acrostic out of peril. Peril. We're living in those times of peril. And the P is persecution. I want you to notice what it says here in verse 12 of this chapter. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, we here in the United States of America seem to think that we ought not to suffer persecution. But in these last days, we've got to understand that men are wicked and they're being driven by the devil himself and demon possession. And by the way, I believe that many of our leaders in this land today are demon possessed. I believe they're being driven by demons. Now, I realize that that's not a popular thing to say, but I tell you what, you look at some of these people and look at their eyes, I believe they're being controlled by demons. I believe that our education system is being demon-possessed. I believe that our colleges in America are liberal. It's no wonder we have any... it's a wonder that we have any conservatives in this country at all, because the liberals have had been in control of our education system for years. And now the woke whatever nonsense has taken over. And I want to tell you something, you're scared to death to say anything when you go out the door thinking somebody might get you for a hate crime.
Yes, sir, yeah.
That happened to my wife, by the way. She works in a public library, and she was, there was a fellow that worked there. We can't even call him a fellow. He's non-binary, whatever that means. And so his name was They. We couldn't call him anything but They. That was the stupidest thing I ever heard of, but it was that. And she, my wife, just sweet as she can be, and she always tried to talk to him, tried to be nice to him. Well, he recorded every conversation they had. She never knew that he did that, recorded it. And she said something that he didn't agree with. And he went to a lawyer and charged her with hate crime. She apparently said something that didn't set well with the They crowd, the non-binary crowd. So she was immediately put on administrative leave. Now, the nice thing about administrative leave, it was just like vacation. She got paid to sit at home. But she didn't like that. You got to know my wife. She wanted to be at the library. She wanted to do her work. She wanted to do the things that she always does. But she couldn't do that because they had taken this to a legal system and had to go through the legal system and so on and so forth. Well, in the end, she was off work for 2 months while they did this. They talk to people, but you know what really irritated me was that she was assumed guilty and she had to prove her innocence.
Yeah.
That's not the way the legal system works.
Amen. Amen.
And our country has turned things around. Tell me that we're not in the last days. We're seeing terrible things happen in this country because the wrong people are in charge. And so here she is. She was assumed guilty until all of a sudden they found out, nope, she's not guilty. She can go back to work now. Well, they call her up. They didn't make a big deal out of it. They did. There was no apology. There was nothing written that said that she was not guilty. A lawyer calls her up and says, now you can go back to work. Well, she says, well, what happened with all the... Well, you've been found innocent. Just go back to work. Don't bring it up. Come on in. We'll preach the dogs too. Come on. But anyhow, that's the story. But anyhow, she was found innocent and she got to go back to work. But I want to tell you something. We're living in very perilous times. We're living in very dangerous times.
Yes, sir.
And there's going to be persecution. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, I don't have any treats. I can't use them.
We've got olives.
Hey, that's right. We got olives. We're trying to give those olives away. But anyhow, I want you to think about this with me for just a second as I continue on very quickly. In Nigeria, over 50,000 Christians have been killed by Islamist extremists since 2009. 50,000 Christians. Did you realize the nation of Nigeria is the most Christian nation in Africa? And when we say Christian, that includes all the different denominations and all the different, and even the Catholics are included in that. So there's a lot of people that are probably not saved but consider themselves Christian. But yet they're still suffering because they consider themselves Christian. Anybody that would go to a church, whether they're saved or not, would be considered a Christian. And would be the Islamic crowd would go and try to kill them. So over 50,000 Christians have been killed by Islamist extremists since 2009. 1,000 Christians have been killed in the first 100 days of 2023, and that's according to La Croix International. I'm not just picking this stuff out and saying, man, you know, here, they're getting it from source that's not a real source. This is a real source. This is a source that knows what's going on in the world. This is a source that tells us the truth about the matter. And I want to tell you something. These people are suffering for the cause of Christ. And here we are in America, sitting back in our easy chairs, watching TV, and, oh, I don't like that show, we'll just flip to the next channel.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I was the remote. Hey, change the channel. I'm the one that had to go up and turn the channel. And if it wasn't coming in quite right, I had to hold the antenna, too. I became the antenna. Nowadays, we just push a button. We get all that stuff. Listen, we here in America are a spoiled bunch.
Yes, sir. Here we are.
We've got everything just handed to us, and we think, oh, poor me. I had a flat tire yesterday. Oh, poor me. I have to drive to work, and my air conditioner's not working. Oh, poor me. And we're feeling sorry for ourselves. I want to tell you something. There's people suffering around the world for the cause of Christ. If we just go online, go to VOM, Voice of the Martyrs, and you'll find out there's suffering going on around the world, and it's close to home. There's suffering going on in Mexico. People are being killed by the cartels in Mexico and suffering for the cause of Christ. Almost every place you go, there's something going on. I remember when I was in Kenya, the last time I went to Kenya, they had to have military come in to Eldoret, Kenya, because there was the threat of Islamists coming in and killing people. I want you to understand, this is going on around the world. This is not something that you hear on ABC, CBS, NBC. This is something that you're not told about. And by the way, the target for most of these Islamists are Christians.
Yes.
Persecution. Yay. All. By the way, look at that word all. Circle that word all. If you're going to live godly for Christ Jesus, you better expect persecution.
It's true.
Because it's coming. Somebody say, oh, not here in America. Don't you understand? We have a constitution here in America.
Not much.
I'm going to tell you something. Our government gave up on the constitution a long time ago.
Yes.
They pretend with the Constitution. It means nothing. It's a piece of paper. That's it.
Yeah.
We don't abide by the Constitution anymore. And you think you got religious freedom? They can take it away in a second.
Yeah.
You know, what was it, in 21-22, the mandates came along, we closed down the churches throughout the land, we couldn't meet together, if you didn't meet together, you had to have this mask, and you couldn't sit right next to each other, you had to have a distance between each other, and so on and so forth, and then you're fortunate that they even let you do that. I remember closing down the church for a month, and then I says, I'm getting tired of this. And so we open the church back up, and next thing you know, everybody's ridiculing us because we're going to church. What's next? They claim there's another pandemic coming. They claim that we're going to have mandates again. They claim that they're going to close down things again. You know what the first thing they're going to close down?
Yep.
They're going to close down the churches. Why? Because it's non-essential.
I remember back in 1974 when we supposedly had a gas shortage, which was a lie of the devil. We didn't have a gas shortage.
That's right.
And the cars were lined up to get gas back in 1974. I want to tell you something. All of that was put on by the government. They want to take control of us. Oh, somebody said you're a conspirator. Okay, you call me whatever you want to. I'm telling you the truth tonight. Yea, and all who will have godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution will come if we try to live for Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If we go out and start telling people about Jesus, they're going to get us. They're going to try to shut us down. They're going to try to shut us up. That's what they're trying to do now, is to shut us up.
Yes, sir.
They don't want us preaching the gospel. They don't want this Bible read. Did you see the where the fellow was reading a Bible across the street from a drag show? And he was reading his Bible, and he was the one arrested while the drag queens were over there parading around in front of little children in their obscene way. And the young man, who was, I believe, about 20 years old, I might be wrong about his age, he was arrested and taken to jail for reading a Bible in public. That happened here in the United States of America. What's next? What's next? Preachers that go out on the street and hand out gospel tracts and preach the Word of God, they want to silence you. They don't want you doing those things anymore. They want to call this a hate book. Matter of fact, in Utah, the school board was going to take the Bible out of their library because it was considered a pornographic book. But they had such an uprising with the people that they couldn't take it out. They decided to leave it in there. Well, they didn't want to cause too much trouble. But the next time, they won't tell anybody. They'll just do it.
That's how they work.
They hate us. The persecution. The E. This world is an enemy of the cross.
Yes,
this world hates the cross. Look back here in the book of Philippians, if you will. The book of Philippians, chapter 3. And notice what it says down here in verses 18 to 19. It says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." The cross offends people.
Yes.
You know, I've been thinking about this for many years now, when I realized that the Muslims hate the cross. And boy, I want to tell you something. They're always talking about removing the crosses from the churches. We're close to that happening. There was a cross in California that they had, and it was on private property, but the city came in and removed the cross off of private property. And, that ought to irritate us just a little bit, I would think. And we ought to be stirred up enough to show our anger about these things. But the cross offends people. And I got to thinking, man, the cross offends people. You know what I ought to do? Let's get some of those crosses made up with the little sticky things, and you can put them in the yard and give them out to everybody again. But I found out they're pretty expensive to make. But wouldn't that be neat to have everybody have a cross and put it in their yard? Oh, I guarantee you that would offend some people.
Yes.
There'd be some people that probably come and tear your cross down. There'd probably be some people that would egg your house or egg your car.
Yes.
There'd be some people that would cuss you out. You'd find out who your real friends were really quick. But you know something? The world is offended by the cross. Now, you might ask yourself, why does a cross offend the world? Well, it tells them something. You know what it tells them? It tells them that they need a Savior. Every time you see a cross, you know there is a reason for that cross. Even if the church has become an apostate church, there's a cross up there on top of it. Praise God for that cross.
Amen.
Just keep looking to the cross.
Amen.
You know, in our church at home, behind the pulpit, there's a cross that's hanging from the ceiling. And there was a little boy that came to our service a couple weeks ago, and he looked up at that cross, and he says,
He said, did you put that up there? I says, no, I didn't. He says, well, who put it up there? I says, I don't know. He says, will it fall? I says, I hope not. Because if it falls, it'll probably kill me because I'm standing right under it. He says, how long's it been there? I said, I don't know. He said, boy, it sure neat, isn't it?
Amen.
I said, yes, it is.
Yeah.
By the cross. What Jesus did on the cross for us. I want to tell you something. It tells people their lost condition. That's why it offends them. They don't want their sins exposed. They don't want anybody to tell them they're a sinner. They don't want anybody to tell them their need for a Savior. They don't want to hear that. Listen, we're living in a very situation in this world where people don't want to know they're going to hell. They don't want to know that. They don't want to live under conviction. I've been in services when I've preached about sin and their need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and had people get mad at me. I preached on a message on hell, and a fellow walked out and says, I'll never darken this church door again. I said, what on earth's wrong with people? You preach the truth and they don't want to hear it.
Amen.
Listen, we've gotten into a time period where people don't want to hear the truth. Where's the truth? Over in the book of Isaiah, they've thrown the truth on the streets. It's thrown it out. Where's the truth? They've trounced on it. They no longer want to hear the truth. And the Bible says that they'll heap to themselves those that will itch their ears, tickle their ears. They want to be patted on the back. They want to be ruffle their hair up a little bit, scratch behind the ears and say, hey, you're all right. They want a Joel Osteen that'll get up there and smile and tell them how wonderful they are and live your best life. I want to tell you something. You can have $1 million. Just give me $2 million and I'll give you $1 million back. I mean, they lie to these people. One of these days, Joel Osteen will stand before a just and holy God and he'll realize that he told him a lie.
Amen.
Spend eternity in a godless hell. The fact of the matter is that the cross offends. People don't want to. They don't want to hear about the cross. They don't want to hear that their sins are going to send them to hell. Look, if you will, over here in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. The world's the enemy of the cross. 1 John chapter 2. It says down here, love not the world, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Look at verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, perilous times, dangerous times. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Whereby we know that it is the last time.
Uh-huh.
There are many antichrists. There's those that are opposed to Christ. They're opposed to the cross. Number next, the R is reality. We've got to wake up.
Amen.
We've got to understand that this is reality around us. You know, it's something we don't want to hear. It's something that we don't want to go through. But the fact of the matter is, it's here. I don't know who I was talking to this morning, but it's hard to believe how fast our country has gone downhill the way it has. It's hard to believe that now we have men marrying men, women marrying women. We have people that don't know what they are as far as their sex is concerned. We've got people that don't want to change their sex. We've got people that want to dress like women and women that want to dress like men. We've got a mess.
Yes, sir.
We've got a mess in this country. We've got to stop and realize this is reality now. I mean, it's not a cartoon we're living in. This is the real thing. I mean, it's not Bugs Bunny dressing up like a woman. This is what's really going on. It's happening right before our eyes. Look over here in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And notice what it says down here in Romans chapter 13, verse 11.
Yes, yes.
And that knowing, underline that word knowing, the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
Yes.
For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make that provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Yes.
Listen, it's time for us to wake up.
Amen.
It's time for us to act like we're Christians. It's time for us to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for us to say this is right and that is wrong.
Amen.
It's time for us to say something. Listen, we're afraid to go out there and say anything. We're afraid they're going to take us to prison because we're guilty of a hate crime. Listen, if they take you to prison, I want to tell you something, just preach in prison. Just keep on preaching the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't let them intimidate you.
Amen.
Listen, this country, regardless of what those idiots say out there, this country was founded on Christian principles.
Amen.
Regardless of what they say.
That's right.
George Washington was a Christian. He followed the principles of the Bible. And I want to tell you something, regardless of those that will go, oh, he was a Mason. All these other things, I believe as strongly as I have read his prayers that man prayed, and they are amazing. If we had a president today that would pray like George Washington, I want to tell you something, our country would change. But we don't have such a president. We have a president that doesn't know what day it is. Folks, I want you to understand something. I'm not trying to be mean. It's time for us to wake up.
Yes, sir.
We've got to stand for what's right.
Amen.
And we've got to continue to do what's right. Look in the book of Philippians chapter 1.
Yep.
Philippians chapter 1, down here in verse 29. Philippians chapter 1. Says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Well, I want to tell you something. When we take a stand, we're living godly in Christ Jesus. You take a stand, you're going to suffer for it. I understand that when you say things like that, people don't want to hear it. The last thing in the world is they don't want to suffer. I mean, nobody. I don't know if too many people are saying, hey, pick me, I want to suffer. Nobody wants that. And you know what? I tell my wife this all the time. She's always trying to get me to do something. I'm allergic to pain. She says, why don't you ever go to the doctor? I'm allergic to pain. Every time I go to the doctor, they start poking me with needles. I don't want to go to the doctor. I'm allergic to pain. This is the same thing standing up for Jesus. One of these days, we're going to be standing up for Jesus, and we're going to be put in cuffs, and they're going to take us away, and they're going to mistreat us. You think that's not possible in America? I'm telling you, it's coming.
Yeah.
And you better listen to me. I'm not a nut. Sometimes they think I am. And maybe I am, but the fact of the matter is, I know the truth when I see it. And I'm willing to stand for the truth.
Amen, brother.
You know this hymn. I wish I knew the how to sing it. I don't know one note from another. Isaac Watts wrote this. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure I must fight if I would reign Increase my courage, Lord.
Yes.
I'll bear the toil, endure the pain,
supported
by thy word. Think about that. I know some of you could probably sing that, but I don't know how to sing very good. But I want to tell you something. Are you a soldier of the cross?
Wake up! Realize what's going on around us. How long is it going to be before they come and shut the doors of the church?
Yes.
How long is it going to be before someone comes and puts the preacher in prison? How long is it going to be before it's going to be illegal to worship God?
Yeah.
How long is it going to be before they take our Bibles out and burn them? Oh, they used to do that. Remember the days of Tyndale? When Tyndale was translating his New Testament? He had to go to Germany to keep from being put in prison. And he'd continue his translation work there in Germany. Then he'd have his 1534, when his translation came across the sea there and got into England, and people grabbed a hold of it. It was the Word of God, and they cherished it. And then the Catholic Church came and grabbed all those New Testaments, and they took them out and burned them. How long is it going to be before they take our Bibles and burn them? How long is it going to be before they mock us, spit upon us, and lock us up? I read not too long ago that there's actual psychiatrists that believe anybody that is religious is off up here. But I'm going to tell you something. Anybody that's not religious is off up here. Now, I don't have religion. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have religion. I have a faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I have a relationship with my Lord.
Amen.
I talk with Him every day. I spend time with Him, and I listen to Him through His Word.
Amen.
Then the I, insanity. Insanity replaces common sense in this day and age we live in. The book of Isaiah, chapter 5. Isaiah. Chapter 5, notice what it says down here in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, I believe. I wrote it down. I can't see it because my eyes are all blurred for some reason. Verse 20, woe unto them.
Yeah.
Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Wow. Woe unto them. Isn't that what they've done?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Today we have gender chaos. Today we have transgender craziness. We have men marrying men, women marrying women. It's a crime to say anything that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus settled the gender issue when He said that in the beginning God created them male and female.
Yes, He did.
And He didn't have 22. Hundreds of genders. There was no confusion about what people were. I didn't, you know, when I was a kid, nobody had to say and ask me, are you a, what kind of person are you, and what's your gender? I don't know. I'm a kid. I don't want to know anything about, what does gender mean? How many of you knew what gender meant when you were in kindergarten? Yeah. I was a kid. The only thing I was concerned about was playing. Shut the teacher up and let's go out to the playground. That's all I cared about. First grade. I didn't change much from kindergarten to first grade. I still wanted to go outside and play. I wasn't concerned about boy, girl. I didn't really get concerned about boy and girl until I got into junior high, and then I started noticing girls and how different they were. But when I was a kid, man, I mean to tell you, all I had... Listen, let's go out and play baseball.
Amen.
Let's go out and throw the football around.
Yep.
Let's go out and fight.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are the things I thought of. I wasn't concerned about any other... I wasn't concerned about it at all. Matter of fact, my mom... When I went to school, my mom did two things... Before she sent me to school, she bought me two pairs of blue jeans and two shirts. That was supposed to last me all school year. And I guarantee you they didn't. You know why? Because I was a boy. And I knew I was a boy. If it didn't get torn up at school, it got torn up when I got home, went down to the creek, and went swimming in the creek. It's when I was running around with my dog. I knew I was a boy. The things I wanted to do was shoot rabbits and fish. That's all the things on my mind. Girls, they played with dogs. Rode horses, I guess. The fact of the matter is that they were different. And I was different. Listen, nobody had to say, "You're a boy." Nobody had to say to my wife, "You're a girl." My wife and I, we met each other in high school. We started dating, and we've been dating a couple weeks, and she said, "You know, I'm going to marry you someday." I says, "No, you're not. I'm not even thinking about marriage." So I took her home. I wasn't going to be out with some girl that's told me she could marry me. And then about a month later, I asked her out again. We started, listen, we'd sit in the same classroom. She was a girl. That was my attraction to her. I wasn't attracted to boys. I was attracted to that pretty little girl that had that long hair and that ponytail that she flipped around. That's who I was attracted to. Oh my goodness, what kind of confusion have we got? Listen, they're not letting our kids be kids nowadays. Our kids are confused. They have to be scratching their head saying, "What on earth is going on?" My heart bleeds for these kids growing up in this situation nowadays. They're starting it down in the grade school.
Yes.
All that nonsense.
Yes.
Transgender nonsense. All of it. Woe to them. Woe to them.
Yes.
They're after your kids.
Yeah. Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 18. It says, if anybody harms those little ones, they ought to hang a millstone around their neck and be thrown into the sea. The L is lawlessness. Look, if you will, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Lawlessness in these perilous days that we're living in. Down here in verse 3, I'm in 1 Thessalonians. You can stay in 2 Thessalonians. I'm just in the wrong book, okay? I'll get there. Yeah, I think it's still in my Bible. I haven't moved it. 2 Thessalonians, what did I say? Chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. I want to tell you something. They're falling away right now. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I've got a Scofield Bible. How many of you got Scofield Bibles? All right, you see here where it says man? Well, you see that little D? That means there's a note over here in the middle. And that man of sin is the lawless one. Lawless one. Now, as we continue to read here, down here in verses 7 and 8. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, and that's the Holy Spirit, will let until he be taken out of the way. And that's the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way.
That's right.
And then, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Now, mystery of iniquity. Here we got this by iniquity, the G. And it goes over here in the middle, and it says lawlessness. Lawlessness. Folks, I want you to understand something. We're living in that period right now of lawlessness. And it's leading to one thing, and it's leading to the entrance of the Antichrist. The Antichrist will take over, and we hear so much about globalism, and the globalists, and all of that. One of these days, the globalists will actually win And this world will be under the control of one man, and that will be the Antichrist. Read Revelation chapter 13 when you get home. It'll scare you to death. And by the way, I believe that the image of the beast that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 13, I believe it's an AI. Some people don't understand that AIs have got to the point where they can actually think for themselves. And we're going to see, not us, praise God, I believe in the rapture, and I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. But during the tribulation period, when the Antichrist comes on the scene and the false prophet makes that image to the beast and makes everybody worship it, that image will actually take over the government, because it's the image that will cause every person to receive the mark. Mark down, it's Revelation chapter 13, I'm not making this up. And it's a very serious matter. And people think, oh, isn't all this technology great? No, I hate it. Now I'm going to tell you why I hate it. I don't want a car that's smarter than me. I want to be able to stop my car when I want to stop the car, rather than the car stopping. I don't want a car that I'm driving all of a sudden slowing down in traffic because I got too close to a guy in front of me. I don't want a car that shuts its engine off while I'm stopped at a stoplight. I don't like the technology. Why? Because it's all leading to one thing, a one-world government. You mean to tell me you think a car and the technology in a car is leading to a one-world government? Yep. I do. All of that technology leads to one thing, the Antichrist. And when he takes over, he'll use everything in his power, and that includes cars. Do you realize they make cars now that when you sit in there, it takes a picture of your face? And if you're not the regular driver of that car will not start. You have to dismantle that to let your technician work on your car. Wow. So you get into the car, and it goes, oh, you're not the driver. That's the technology that we're going to have. And by the way, I believe the Antichrist will be able to use that. And by the way, did you realize, I can't remember the exact year, it might have been, it was the year that Biden took the presidency, when he stole the presidency. They started putting in cars a switch where the local police forces can actually shut your car off. You don't have any control over your car. So all of these new cars that are coming out now have a switch in them that the government can actually shut you down. And you won't be able to start your car, you won't be able to go anywhere. So, that's all beside the point. That's extra. I'm sorry I took a rabbit down that way. And I promise not to do that. Well, no, I won't promise that. But here we're living in a lawless society. Think about it. Defund the police. Did you ever think you would hear something like that? Defund the police? What on earth is that all about? Now all of these places that have defunded the police are wondering, what happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. You wouldn't pay anybody to be a policeman. You treat a policeman like he's dirt when he does arrest somebody. Defund the police. Cartels are crossing our borders. The cartels, they are in control of our southern border. Believe it. Drugs are killing our young people. Folks, I want you to understand something. Drugs are not something that a few people are on. Drugs are what every kid is on. I'm sorry to say this, but it's true. It's a sad situation our country has gotten into. And it's lawlessness. And it's all of a sudden, you think if Donald Trump is elected president that he's going to correct it all? No, I want to tell you something. We're in a situation where it ain't going to be corrected. Now, please don't misunderstand me. We ought to vote for the person we think is the best person for that office. But please don't think that the president's going to change anything. It's not going to change. We're so deep into sin that we're not going to get out. And I believe in a revival, and I believe that we can see a revival. I believe Christians ought to wake up, and that's what this message is all about, that we would wake up and realize what's going on around us. And I also realize that you probably know everything I've already said. You understand all of these things. You can read just like I do. You can Google just like I do. You can read all the newspapers, and don't trust your newspapers. Throw them away, and don't trust NBC, ABC, and CBS, and Fox. Don't trust them either. But find a news source that you can trust that's going to tell you the truth about what's going on. We are living in a lawless society, but I've got good news. I got good news. Jesus Christ. He's the good news.
Amen.
He's the Savior of the world.
Yes.
And if there's any hope for America or the world, it's Jesus.
That's right.
And just like John prayed, even so come, Lord Jesus. I pray that you have placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you've got your eyes focused on those eastern skies, and that you are looking for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes.
Now, I'm not here to set dates. I won't do that. I'm not foolish enough to do that. I am crazy, but I'm not that foolish. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus is coming back. And he could come back tonight, and that wouldn't break my heart at all.
Amen.
I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. Now, here's the thing. I'm not looking for Jesus to come back to take me out of this stinky world. I'm looking for Jesus to come back because I want to be with him. I want to be with Jesus. 1 John chapter 3 says, when I see him, I'm going to shout hallelujah. Now, let's know I added that. When I see him, I'll be like him. What a day that will be.
Yes, yes.
When I see my Savior,
yes,
face to face. What a day. That's the good news. And all of the horrible things that are going on. By the way, most of the people out here that live in these communities have no clue what's going on. They have no clue. Lord, please work a mighty work right now. Work in our hearts, Lord. Help us to pray for America. Help us to pray for our families. Help us to pray for each other. Lord, if there's someone here without Christ, I pray that tonight they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's stand together. And as we stand, we're going to take a few moments. We've got no musical instrument playing right now, no song. But if you need to come to the altar, now's the time to do it. Come pray for America. Come pray for your families. Come pray for our education system. Boy, we've got so much to pray for. Come and bow before the Lord and pray. And pray for yourself. Pray that you'd have the boldness to reach out to a lost and dying world, that nothing would stop you from doing that. Let's pray.
Confessed he was ashamed of his nation.
you and I know someone who needs your prayers just now. Your neighbors know there's something awful wrong, and they don't know Christ. Pray for them. Let's pray for revival. You and thank you that we could be here tonight. Thank you again for what we've heard and seen in your words. Thank you again, Father, that you saved us, put in us eternal life, caused again, Father, that we could even now have a discerning heart about the time. Father, as we do that, I pray again that you burden our heart, hear our prayer. Father, there's needs all around us. So I pray again that you help that we could be a witness in the last of the last days, in these perilous times. And Father, that we could again be about your business, to be witnesses, yea, throughout the world. We'll give you praise now for covering our hearts. And thank you again for your presence here in the name of Christ. Amen.